You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
The scripture to begin as we gather is from the letter of Paul to the Philippians, and it is the first chapter, and it begins with the second verse. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace. Let us pray. Most gracious and ever-living God, we do give you great thanks and praise that you have knit us together as partners in the gospel, and that you, Lord Jesus, are the gospel made flesh. Be in the midst of us now as we gather. Be always with us and always going before us, because apart from you, we can do nothing. And with you, all things are possible. All this we offer, all this we ask, in your name, most gracious God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Hughes. I'm grateful for that report. And, of course, thank you to everyone in the congregation who makes that possible. That's why I began with that reading from Paul's letter to the Philippians, because it really does encapsulate my feelings and my gratitude for this congregation, for our ministry, which is shared together, our life, which is shared together, that we are partners, recipients of God's grace, recipients of the gospel. And as I begin my reflections at this time, let me pray. Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks for your provision, which is gracious and abundant, and part of which is that we are dependent upon you. And in being in that place, we are able to experience a provision which is greater than anything we could produce on our own. As I speak now, I pray, speak through me, as we're gathered now, be in the midst of us, and ultimately, continually, knit us together with you and one another always, I pray. And I ask all this in the name of your Son, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As Hughes shared the news of the stewardship, I give thanks. That's the theme. I will say it reminded me of a moment a few years ago, when I was the interim, and it was the first Stewardship Sunday, and I preached the stewardship sermon at the 7:30 service. And as I tell you the story, this is when I knew we were going to be okay. It came time for the offertory at 7:30, and the offertory plates were brought up. And you know how it works on Sunday. They're brought up, and they're handed to us up at the altar. And the plates are raised. All things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee, are the words. And as I look down in the offertory plates after my very successful stewardship sermon, you know what was in the plate? I'm not making this up. $1. there was $1. And rather than being discouraged, I'm like, you know what, Lord? Funny. That is really funny. And I feel okay now, because I know you have it. It's not up to me. Praise God. That has been borne out again and again, not just in the last few years, but over our 151-year history here at the corner of 20th and 6th. God has it, and we are people who are wonderfully dependent upon God, and we gather together to hear again that message of good news, and we want that always and ever to be before us. Jesus Christ, and him crucified and risen, the friend of sinners, the one who comes to seek and to save the lost, the one in whom is our hope, and that the righteousness that we have isn't a righteousness that we produce on our own. It's not a righteousness that we have earned, but it's an imputed righteousness. The righteousness, our standing in relationship with God, as something which is given to us by God, because God's property is always to have mercy. One of our previous deans, it's not any big secret, his name is Frank, and he was asked shortly after his arrival here at the Advent, someone asked him how he would describe the Advent. And he said, it's a dry clean church, was Frank's assessment in that particular moment. And one of the nice things, listen, nothing wrong with dry cleaning, but one of the nice things about COVID, of course, is, you know, so many of those things, for all of the bad, so many of those things have come and gone. But as I think about this church, in some ways, I think we're a church, we're a Prayer of Humble Access church. We realize that our standing and our sufficiency are in God's grace, and again, that God's property is always to have mercy. Those wonderful words which Paul writes to the Ephesians, as you remember, he talks about the condition of humanity, but then there's those wonderful two words, but God, who is rich in mercy, has made us alive together in Christ. That is a deeply needed word at any moment, at any time, in the hearts and lives and relationships of any people at any moment. And always before us here at the Advent is that opportunity to hold out that word of life. As Paul goes on and writes to the Philippians, he talks about shining like the stars in the universe as we hold out the word of life. Not that we ourselves shine, but we hold out that life. We hold out that light, which the world needs. And so I'm incredibly grateful that we are in this together, that we're recipients of God's grace. And there are a few things that I'd like to share. Again, first and foremost is my gratitude. I'm grateful that we are where we are. And of course, we're people who inevitably, wonderfully, will always remain dependent upon God as well. I want to give a few things to share about some of the different areas of ministry here at the Advent. These are not exhaustive, but just to look at some of the areas of our ministry. One thing I'll give thanks for again is your partnership in the gospel and worshiping and volunteering and being in relationship with one another and in your stewardship and in your giving, which enables our ministry, and we're dependent upon that every year. And so I give thanks to you. I give thanks to you that we are where we are, because it's something, yes, ultimately it's God's grace, but it's also our working and ministering together. We're in this place because we've navigated these moments together. One of the things recently we had with our Christmas Eve services this year, we had over 2,000 people come through the Advent on Christmas Eve for our worship services, and what a great gift that was, again, to see, and even Sunday in and Sunday out, to see the numbers increasing and the energy and life returning to the church after such a weird and awkward time and moment in history. To see that and to experience that fills me with gratitude and fills me with praise. Again, very much to you, our community of faith, but also mostly, of course, primarily to God. And I look at our vestry slate. Good heavens, we have 20 people on there. And as we look at that slate, we'd be incredibly fortunate to have any of those 10. Any of those 10 would be tremendous. And I'm grateful as well to those who are willing to have themselves on the vestry slate. Just touching on a few things here. A word of thanks to our stewardship chairs this year, Stephen Nichols, Bela Nielsen, grateful for your good and great ministry, and also all of the callers, Brian Helm and Dorothy White in the church office, all the people that made that happen. Fontaine Pope, working with our small groups and with our newcomers this past year, we had 12 new adult small groups which began, and over 50 adult small groups within the congregation, as well as the additional youth small groups. 37 people went through the newcomers and inquirers class. Small groups, they're certainly not a mandate, they're not a must, but they continue to be a wonderful way in which we not only engage the scripture together, engage God together in that way, but also a wonderful way in which we care for one another pastorally. It really is one of the strengths and the backbones of our ministry, and I'm grateful to Fontaine for her work. Leslie Houseman, our Director of Women's Ministries, all of our staff is just superlative, and our volunteers. We have an amazing crew. As I sit on Tuesdays in staff meetings and as we pray and as we plan for ministry together, I'm amazed by the depth of faith of the variety of gifts within our congregation. Again, the staff as well as you, the congregation, it's an embarrassment of riches as I look around. Leslie has brought wonderful energy and substance and organization to the women's ministry. Just varied opportunities for women of all ages and different stages of life to gather. There are Bible studies, there's teaching, there's fellowship, there's opportunities for service, continuing to expand the opportunities to lead and serve within the church and out in the community. And particularly, one of the things, a nighttime Bible study that was launched in 2023. You know, more and more people have difficulty gathering during the day, recognizing that need and actually responding to it. Additional studies in the evening in fall of 2024, but also regularly volunteer serving at Pathways and things to have an impact, to be recipients of faith, but also to be people who engage and serve in the community around us. Sunday mornings here are lively and vibrant. Tara Davis and Gunnar Owens in our children's ministry do marvelous things. And they're sharing with me, we have 115 parishioners serving in the children's ministry every month. So 115 members of the congregation volunteer in various ways working with our children's ministry. That's not patting ourselves on the back. That's more than the church attendance in many churches. And we have that many volunteers working in Christian education with our children. The fact that we value that, that is something from the very beginning that we want to not only with our words, but also to invest in that ministry. The nine classes that happen on Sunday morning, the adults that work with our children's church and our Sunday school, and then the children that serve alongside. We're in our third year of taking the children through the whole story of the Bible with a different biblical theme each year. And this year's theme is God with us, teaching children that God has always and will always be with his people. And it's also Club 456 is something that began this year, and that is, you might already be onto this, Club 456. It's for our 4th, 5th, and 6th graders, clever. And so it's awesome. Some of the parishioners, Margot Cooney and some others as well, Haley Yearout, and a number of others involved in this. Wonderfully, they give sort of that gap in between sort of elementary school and beginning junior high youth ministry. It's a month-to-month opportunity to gather both for fellowship and for teaching and for a meal, just to wonderfully engage the young people, again, who are in that sort of neither fish nor fowl stage. What a great development, and grateful for the men and women who helped make that possible. Our adult education on Sunday mornings, both parishioners who teach, we have incredibly gifted teachers here in the parish, and just wonderful offerings as well as Friends of the Advent who come through not only during Lent, but on Sunday mornings as well. We had a great Lenten preaching series this past year, and we have another great one this year. Last year we had some of our theologians and friends we know, Simeon Zoll and Wes Hill and John O. Leinball, and friends of ours from Mockingbird Ministry like Ethan Richardson, and then also former clergy Joe Gibbs and some of those people, but also new preachers like Peter Ong and Gretchen Ronovic. A great list. And this year we have another great lineup. Mark Mattis will be with us again. Ken Jones, Paul Zoll will be with us. Our longtime friend Robert Smith, who taught preaching for so many years at Beeson Divinity School, will be with us. Will be retiring in May, and so grateful that he's going to be with us. and also some wonderful young preachers as well. That'll be with us. Sam Bush and Kelsey Klumbara will be with us. Just a great, great lineup and amazing classes that are offered on Sunday mornings across a variety of themes. In our youth ministry and our young adult ministry, Will Fagan and Marianne McCarty, we're so incredibly fortunate to have them. And you may also, wonderfully, they will go through the preaching rotation as well on occasion. They're wonderful, gifted preachers as well. And so working and developing great rapport through Sunday school, through Sunday nights, through Bible studies, but then also energy in our young adult ministry as well. We've had a number of really wonderfully well-attended events with the young adult ministry, and so it's great to see amongst the 20s and 30s that opportunity for people to be gathered. Cameron Cole, who is our director of Children, Youth, and Family, just a wonderful, vibrant, lively ministry. And one thing in his area, also working with men with Bible studies, and we have 40 men enrolled in a 3-year discipleship program in 2023. That's absolutely tremendous, and grateful for that. And as he writes about that, describes it as a solid conference win toward bowl eligibility. And so it's a program on the rise. And so we're very grateful for that. It's kind of a laundry list, but this is the opportunity for you to hear some of these things. Fred Tiardo and Charles Kennedy. In our worship and music, we have a number of great things which are coming up in this year, events which will be happening, and among them are these soon, February 11th at the 9 o'clock and the 11 o'clock. We're going to welcome James O'Donnell, who will be our guest conductor of the choir, and you may remember him. He was previously the director of music, master of music at Westminster Cathedral, for more than 2 decades, and also at Westminster Abbey. And you may have, I was not invited, but at the wedding of Prince William and Catherine Middleton, he directed that along with the Queen's funeral as well. And he's now in the Department of Sacred Music at Yale. And he's going to be with us on February 11th to direct the choirs at both the 9 o'clock and the 11 o'clock service. Just an exciting event. Which is coming up. Voces 8, an internationally renowned group, is going to be with us on February 22nd, and there are tickets available. And then also on April 19th, it's a Friday. This is actually, all these are really big deals, but we're going to offer the entirety of Handel's Messiah. And so not only that, but we have a Baroque orchestra, Grammy-winning soloists will be joining our choir for that, and that's going to be, and all of this is on the website, certainly Fred and Charles, and also Miller Johnson leading our band at the 9 o'clock and the 5, so many things to be grateful for. Just want to say a couple of things very briefly, and then I'll turn this over. One is to talk about some of the good and exciting transitions that are happening, and word will be going out hopefully tomorrow in e-blast in the congregational letter. Of course, you know, and I appreciate your continued prayers. One of the things, again, we had an amazing team in place, but we needed to rebuild the team, particularly amongst the clergy, and we have a great crew. We have two that came to us in flip-flops and one in snow boots. And so Jay Gardner, just an amazing gifted minister, working with our pastoral care and working with the day school and just ministry across the board. A gifted minister, a gifted preacher, incredibly grateful. Tom Murray coming on board as our vice dean has been a tremendous gift, a wealth, decades of experience in ordained ministry, particularly his gifts as far as our organization and our vision and our putting pieces in place for the next places and ways in which we're called forward in ministry. What a great gift to work alongside Tom as well. And then Adam Young, who recently joined us, had a vibrant and lively college ministry and really beginning to step into, and again, sort of similarly, all these guys, gifted pastors, gifted preachers, wonderful people to be around, and wonderful teammates, but really helping us begin, and it's not something that we haven't, but more and more to have an outward face in our ministry here at the Advent. We're kind of in a moment, in a wonderful moment, of asking again, Lord, you brought us this far, what's next? You know, how are you specifically directing and guiding us? We continue to have those great relationships, but you're a God of the living, and you're a God who's living and moving and active. What does it look like? What are you calling us into relationships and ministry? And that's evangelism, and that's service, and that's care for the community beyond ourselves, internationally, but also very much within the city of Birmingham. How are you calling us? How are you directing us? And so I invite you, along with Adam, as we pray about that, as we discern that together. And the final thing I'll mention is a couple of transitions which will be happening on Sunday morning. Obviously, Sunday morning is so vitally important, our ability to gather together and worship and to be formed and to be fashioned. And February 11th, one of the things that we'll be returning is breakfast. You may applaud. Just remember this address, blah, 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 breakfast. Breakfast is returning February 11th. One of the things, and this has been exciting as far as the school and the church and the staff working, how do we take the next steps? And one of the things that clearly is very much a part of our community is that we want that message of the gospel to go forth. We want to provide as many landing places and opportunities for people to gather and to hear that life-saving word of good news. And so we have vibrant ministry led by the organ and choir. We also have vibrant ministry led by the band as well. And so to say, we value all of these, and we want that word to go forth. One of the nice challenges is the refectory is really getting too small for the service, and also we have that desire to gather on Sunday mornings for breakfast. We really have opportunity not to be rushed, but to enjoy being connected with one another, to make it easier for folks to come and gather on Sunday morning. And so one of the things that we did proactively this previous year is that we renovated both the Laura Morton meeting room, which has turned into a wonderful space, not only for the youth, but just for our congregation. It really took a dreary space, and it's fantastic right now. It's a tremendous space now. But the other thing that we did was did work in the assembly hall, and we expanded that space a little, provide more seating. And so as kind of the next step, as God directs us in all of this, is that breakfast will be in the refectory, and the refectory service will be in the assembly hall, which, again, it's a beautiful space that we've renovated, that we've expanded, and that provides more space for that service to continue to grow. Wonderfully, as it outgrows that'll be the next, that's the report next year. What is the next step in all of that? And so incredibly grateful to share that with you. So we'll say simply, I'm grateful. There's so much to be encouraged about. There's so much opportunity which is placed before us. Not in any presumptive way. We are always dependent. There's always the next challenge. We've never arrived. And yet, one of the things that we know is God is faithful. We know that God is merciful. And I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful that we have this partnership in the gospel. Grateful for the amazing opportunities which are being placed before us. Thanks be to God.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.